Hey everybody, and welcome to this episode of Frank About Health. Today, myself, Danielle Swanson, and Jeff Dimitrak are going to talk about epilepsy and the struggle for independence. As we've begun a new series at the end of each month, trying to go back to my roots on how Frank About Health began as a show about trying to remove the stigmas of epilepsy and try to come up with other understandings of what the disorder can be as a lifestyle or how to learn to live with it along with your treatment methodology, in addition to other kinds of issues you may be facing. We decided to be able to address each of those aspects every month. As you recall, we did a whole segment on narcissism last month, and then we had before the holidays. Jeff come in and discuss his book on relationships and try to understand how much people living with epilepsy have their mental health impacted. So part of that mental health is adjusted based on the quality of your life. And if you are finding yourself struggling from independence on various levels, we want to be able to address them on today's show. Now, all three of us are living our lives with epilepsy, and we are living with various treatment methodologies as well as different medications and other alternatives. And so we're going to devote this time to be able to hear our individual stories and how we have dealt with our struggles in the various levels of independence that we are trying to maintain while continuing to also maintain our seizure control. I have to issue my disclaimer, and that is that these are not the views and opinions of talkradio.nyc or of Frank About Health, nor any of the medical centers that myself, Danielle, and Jeff have dealt with. In addition, they may have the views of some of the details in Jeff's book, which you can quote the title after I get back to you. And at the same time, they may also be remnant of ideas and treatments that you can pursue at a later date if you are living your life with epilepsy. And again, if you are dealing with it, just remember that any changes you want to make should be consulted with your neurologist or primary care physician prior to make any changes, so that way it is your decision and not something that we are trying to provide as enabling material. It is information for thought and for useful conversation. So that all being said, all of you both welcome back to Frank About Health. And before we go into the topics of independence, Jeff, can you quote your book again?
Yes, it's Dating in the Dark. It's a memoir about dating disasters with epilepsy, anxiety, and psychotic breaks.
Exactly. Either way, it does the overview of neurological and psychological trauma that is related to living your life with epilepsy. But as we have learned already, and as we will learn again some more today, you have been mastering it in your own way. And that's why I find you, and of course you, Danielle, to be very valuable to this show at the end of each month. So I'm looking forward to discussing the whole aspect of independence because it is a generic word unless we break it down into specifics. So that being said, let me share the screen with all of you to really go into the specifics of independence that we will cover on today's show. And in the first segment, we will discuss about financial independence, psychological independence, physical independence, and medical independence. And that in itself is definitely a 360, I call it 360 because there's alternative treatments as well as traditional treatments. Okay, now the other thing that I wanted to maintain is the understanding that financial independence is not about managing your money alone. It's also about managing your type of work and the work environments you are existing in. So I know, Danielle, you're going to really cover that a lot in segment two. But that all being said, I'm now going to go right into the conversation and say, what would be, Jeff, your definition of maintaining independence while living your life with epilepsy?
Well, living with epilepsy is unpredictable, and there are many unknowns. So this is uncertainty is involved with the frequency of seizures, and it impacts both the workplace and interpersonal independence, the location of attacks, and impacting your physical freedom, the feeling of being isolated, and disrupting overall lifestyle. So the efficacy of your medications, the availability of your treatment, and sometimes the medical community leaves individuals vulnerable to misinformation and neglect. And I know you were going to touch on some of those subjects, but I also wanted to mention some of that myself. So.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, I know that you are still currently dealing with it much more aggressively based on all the examples you've told in the past where you still are undergoing with your medications and other treatments. Around
I just had a bunch of seizures this week. So I, anytime there's a, stress in my life, it's it can be a big burden on your whole life. You have to get the rest that you need. You have to get to the, stay to a routine. I think that's a very important for people to realize that they need to stick to the routine when it comes to not only their sleep, but their medication and, the people in their lives as well. So.
Correct, correct. I mean, it's very interesting though, Jeff, because while you've mentioned aspects of sticking to a routine or sticking to an understanding of your schedule and your commitments and trying to prioritize every day, each activity you need to engage in, doesn't that sound ironic that it's a form of dependency actually? It's like we're maintaining our independence by being cue dependent. We're trying to maintain our independent quality of life in the best way possible by also being mindful of any possible sensations we are experiencing inside that could be an oncoming seizure. Or at the same time, if you have a situation where you have stress going on in your life, it may actually make you forget what some of your priorities may be, which in itself could trigger a seizure or can make you mismatch what your goals are. So as a result, you're not really as independent as you like to be. So I think that's why there is the ongoing struggle for independence on those who live with this neurological condition.
Yeah, and I think that, when you start to depend on other people, there is an appearance aspect to it. I think that, there's an acceptance aspect. There's a credibility aspect. A person with epilepsy, might fear that they'll be called crazy because, that's a part of the stigma. And but society, we're hoping that society moves away from that. And we want our abilities to be shown, to society, and we want to be looked at as competent. So, I wrote something down. Society doesn't understand the consequences of working with seizures and going on to disability. So, they don't understand both of those. So like you could have seizures at work and you can also have go on disability, but there's consequences to both of those. So there, you might have to depend on the people in your life and put a burden on them. Or you can have seizures at work and put a burden on yourself and have that stress of what should I do when I have a seizure at work? So there's a lot of aspects to think about.
Incredible. It's on some level, I'm listening to what you're saying, and it reminds me of all those years ago when I was first diagnosed, and I didn't believe it until I almost, and I've already announced this on the show before, I almost drowned in my own bathtub when I was 17 because I had a seizure while taking a bath. And since then, I haven't taken a bath. I've taken mainly showers, but I'm always dependent on the past to prevent myself from getting into a sticky situation in the future. I also see how you've been able to master it, even just writing your book as you had. That was definitely taking ownership over it and using it as an advocacy platform to be able to help people, especially those living with it, live their better type of life, especially in the relationships they're in, So that in itself, I guess, is the overview of independence as a whole. And we decided to break it down into segments that are very critical, especially work is one of the aspects. And so I know that in segment two, Danny, you'll definitely have a lot to share on that aspect because you have been a survivor of various work conflicts at the same time while it has been a trigger for seizure activity. So I'm looking forward to learn more in the next segment as to how you've been able to maintain your quality of life and social independence as well. And I think I look in terms of my own situation where I've been fortunate enough to be seizure free from my full blown attacks, pretty much now going on 17 years, but the partial seizures, which are still ongoing, I mean, it's not even an issue where I'm unconscious. It's just an issue of knowing that when I easily forget something or I can't even process a full sentence, something is going on. And it's like, okay, I forgot to take my medication, or I overdosed on my medication, or the stress or lack of boundaries that I'm around, you know, coupled with narcissists, as we talked about on our last session, sometimes shut me down. And I'm like, okay, something's going on here. So it's very interesting how you can live your life with epilepsy in the full-blown attacks, or while you're still conscious. And that in itself can create different types of stigmas and perceptions. So, oh, by the way, I just got a cue that all you Facebook watchers out there that have not seen Frank About Health or any of the other shows on talkradio.nyc for the last 6 months are back. Welcome back. And I hope you've been able to catch us on our YouTube channel. And I want to welcome all of you in the Twitter sphere that are now apparently watching this show. Frank About Health has been here since May 2021. There is a back catalog of shows on Facebook as well as on YouTube. And please, by all means, I hope that the Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube watchers out there are cross-pollinating with each other. And I think even LinkedIn is involved, but I don't have confirmation on that as of yet. I just want to say that hopefully, Jeff and Danny, we're going to have a show tonight that's going to get a larger audience than we even anticipated. So I see we're also about to go to break. So that being said, yes, I agree with you, Jeff. I just want to say again, when we return to this episode of Frank About Health after the next couple minutes, we're going to hear Danielle Swanson talk about financial independence in the workplace, as well as living her life with epilepsy in social circumstances that probably finds her questioning her sense of independence. And we want to hear more about that. And right here on not just talkradio.nyc, but on our YouTube channel, Talking Alternative, on Facebook Live, and on twitter.com/talkradionyc. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back in a few.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back. By the way, I just got some data on the shows that we've last done together. Jeff, our show that we did in December has 71 views on YouTube as of today. And then I think the show that we did last month has over 50 on YouTube. But I'm interested to see what this particular show is going to bring, because we'll have numbers from Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitter. All right. That all being said, I'm just looking forward to hear Danny. I mean, you have been a cornerstone of this show since its beginning, both in 2016 as well as last May. Not even last May, 2 years ago in May. And we were talking about epilepsy back then, but all about cannabis. In this particular case, we want to know more about the experience of how you've been maintaining your life of work and financial independence. So the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so a lot to say on there. So I'm going to try and condense it into make it as concise as possible. So one thing I've learned over the past probably 7 years now is that whenever I do go out to like an interview or something, I try to be as like honest and open of a person as possible. So initially when I started interviewing jobs, I had changed from an old job I had when I got out of college. I had had it for several years. I was like, oh yeah, by the way, you know, I have a seizure disorder. It's usually not a problem though. And people would be like, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. Thank you for telling us. Like, we'll get back to you. And, you know, it sounded good. And then they'd be like, yeah, we found someone more qualified, but you were great. So I decided to do an experiment. Mm-hmm. And then I started applying, you know, same types of jobs that I just didn't say anything about the seizures, that is. And I started getting like the second interviews and the offers. And I was like, okay, so I just can't say anything about that. So much for honesty. I hate to say that.
Exactly. Selective honesty.
Selective honesty, or you tell them after you've signed the papers, right?
Right.
So that was an eye opener. Nice. More recently, one thing I've really been, I don't want to say, you know, I guess it's true, struggling with, or I really opened my eyes a lot, is I had this great job that I really enjoyed. And I've recently had to leave it because of the seizures, complications, trying new medicines. During that time, in order to get promoted or to get paid more, you have to, like in so many jobs, sort of prove your worth or take an exam. In this case, it was take an exam. Part of it was physical, part of it was written, part of it was oral. And one of the things I had to do was memorize over 300 different patterns that I had to demonstrate.
Wow.
You know, fine, great. I studied, I did it, I knew them, but I went to take the exam. And it just all like fell out of my head. I don't know if it was that part was like anxiety. Part of it was like, I had such a hard time recalling them. I had been having more seizures because I was stressed out about taking this exam. Fortunately, I had a very understanding boss, but she was like, you know, I know that you know these things. So let's just pause this test right now.
Right.
She's like, you know, I don't know what to do because I know that you know this stuff, but you still have to pass the test like everybody else. So she literally had to go up to like the headquarters and contact people who are above her because they weren't set up for people who have, I hate to say it, but like disabilities. I don't consider myself disabled. I prefer like to say differently abled, but
yes,
they just weren't set up for someone who needed like special accommodations for testing, right? Or extra time, or in my case, like the slower recall. Fortunately, we did come up with like a plan, so that worked out. But over the course of, I'd say probably about 6 months, we struggled together to try and find a way to make it work. And it really, every time we talked about it, opened my eyes to how, at what level there was no preparation, there's no awareness. There's nothing is set up for people who have like seizure disorders. I don't know about other conditions, but it's most places are not well equipped for that versus someone, right, for instance, who maybe needs to use a wheelchair. There's laws like you have to have handicap access and whatnot. This is sort of like the invisible disability. So there's nothing really required. So it's hard. It's hard to take the exams. Therefore, it's hard to get promoted. Therefore, it's harder to get paid more, which would be nice.
Yes.
Or sometimes I've had to miss so much work that I've had to leave the job because it no longer makes sense to stay with it because of how much money I was making or not making.
Right.
I don't know if you guys have ever had that issue, but
yeah.
Works again. And then I think there's been other times where there was sort of like a cap of how high you could go within the
organization.
Thank you. I was like, what's the word? I got up to like almost an assistant manager type position, for example, but there would only be right. two or three employees in the studio at one time. And basically their stance was, oh, well, you can't really be promoted past this point because we can't like trust you or trust that like you can do things alone, or if you have a seizure and you're the one in charge, then it's a problematic. And so yeah, it's very disappointing. It's hard to find a job that you can stick with and really make it with, because there's very little set up to help do that. And I've been fortunate. Yeah. I've had very supportive bosses and coworkers, but in the grander scheme of like functionality and finances, there's just like, oh, well, I guess I'll just be stuck here then. Or like, do I go on disability? What do I do? And as Jeff said earlier, there's consequences to both.
Correct. Correct. I mean, Jeff, do you have something similar related?
Well, I can definitely relate to when the interview process, you know, not being honest about my epilepsy, because people change their tune, you know, and that goes for interpersonal relationships too, you know. And yes. I think that when it comes to, say, public transportation, I know, Danielle, you mentioned this before the show, but, you know, people with seizures, that can be a trigger for their seizures. So, you know, they need to be close to something like that because they don't drive. But then, you know, once they start using it, the heat and all these people around them, they feel suffocated. So, you know, it might be a trigger for them too. So it's a catch-22.
Yep. Now, for me, the way that it's been is that, you know, it's kind of interesting. On one level, I've been both fortunate and unfortunate living my life in the workplace with epilepsy. My biggest job, meaning the one that I was at the longest, was at Sony Music for 10 years, 92 to 2003. And the reason why I lost my job was not because of my epilepsy, but because I was the last one standing and they were getting rid of the music club. You know, so as a result, I guess I survived while living with it, while also having seizures there. And I was lucky to have a boss that also suffered from seizures. So as a result, the empathy that he had allowed me to be able to still coexist in the workplace. But I did notice promotions were not coming as fast. The raises were very marginal at best. And at the same time, whenever business trips were going around, I was always asked to stay behind and manage the store, per se. But yet, when it came down to big artists at Sony, Michael Jackson and his scandals, Destiny's Child when they broke out and all of a sudden they were doing a soundtrack with Columbia Pictures for Charlie's Angels. Even other artists that were from non-Sony labels that died. Guess who was there to promote their inventory or to produce their inventory or to be on the pulse of what was going on in the industry to help the revenue and bottom line at either the music club or the retail stores? Me. I even remember label people coming to meet me on days when people were leaving with their moving boxes because they were laid off that day. But I was the one taking the label executives out to lunch an hour after I said goodbye to maybe five of my closest coworkers that I'd known for 5 or 6 years. You know, so I don't know if it was the job itself that was nuts or if my brainwave activity was in itself always volatile. So I was able to kind of do the dance with living with epilepsy and at the same time have a decent career for 10 years. Yet there was the social limitations that both of you outlined, such as not getting the raises, not getting the promotions, not getting the recognition, especially when I was the one coming up with innovative marketing strategies that they decided to defer to other people because they had an MBA from another university versus the one I went to. Or probably they wanted someone who was younger or someone who was older or some other excuse. So I always felt the scapegoat based on their knowledge that, yes, I was living with epilepsy, especially when I would have seizures in front of them, because during the interview, I made no mention of it either. But it's like what they say, with everything that you don't say, it eventually comes out in one way, shape, or form. And for us, if we are prone to having seizure activity, it's bound to happen. It's bound to come out.
I think one of the biggest issues, like for both as a person who has seizures and is in, trying to be in the workforce or is in the workforce, and the people I've worked for or with, is that though they may want to help, there's always that unknown factor. So I've had my bosses ask me, oh, well, what can we do to help you? Like, how can we try and predict this? And I'm like, well, you can't. I mean, we can try, as Jeff said, having a routine or some sort of like discipline of taking a medicine at exactly the right times or getting enough sleep, managing stress, all that can help,
right?
Creating a structure. But otherwise, even if you're doing all that perfectly, there's still sometimes just breakthroughs and it's not
fun. Right. So I guess if anything, the lesson learned in terms of financial independence or workplace independence is to realize the value that epilepsy does provide when you need to use it to your advantage or your leverage, with the limitations that our social structure can sometimes provide to us as a result of being quote unquote disabled, even though I like your preference, differently abled. But, and like I was once told that the reason why they won't give me the promotion is because I'm differently skilled. Yeah, beautiful. Either way, the point of the matter is that it did teach me that people like us are more entrepreneurial in nature. So I would say to the listeners and viewers out there that one of the things to consider, especially if you're in a workplace environment that is sometimes stressing you out and you're doing your best to maintain your job and your health and as well as your financial resources, always be looking for that plan B, whether it is a better opportunity, your own entrepreneurial opportunity, saving a lot of whatever money you make into special investment or savings accounts that could be used in case you lose the job because of your disability or because the company's laying off point blank. Not to mention the fact that at the end of the day, I think in order for us to reduce our stress, since we want to have a sense of control, especially when understanding that we could have a seizure at any time, we should always be planning to do something innovative and of our own at the end of the day. I think a lot of people who don't suffer from epilepsy follow the pattern of the workplace. Retire if you can with the organization. See, you know, that's all great for those people who want that kind of life. But in our case, I think it's a necessary evil to really be thinking independently. I mean, that's the topic of today's show, but thinking independently in our careers and as creatively as possible. All right, we're about 1 minute to break. I hope that the people, listeners and viewers out there understand that to be financially independent while living with epilepsy is to be entrepreneurial in nature. That all being said, for all you Facebook listeners, YouTube listeners, and Twitter listeners out there, and talkradio.nyc listeners, we will be back in a few.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, everybody. We just spent the last 15 minutes discussing about workplace and financial independence. And I guess, Jeff, that's now your time to talk about relationship independence. But at the same time, one can qualify that the workplace is in itself a type of relationship.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I remember speaking to a woman that, she was, struggling whether she should go on disability or not. And she was, wondering whether I should depend on my husband. And she was it was a real dilemma for her because really she wanted to be independent, financially, and going and depending on her husband, that took that all away from her.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a lot to think about, giving up a career like that, and then now when you have to rely on a spouse or a family member for groceries and for driving, it's a real you have to sacrifice your pride for
it. I heard a little echo. I was told actually from a therapist of mine, yes, out there, for those of you living with epilepsy, besides a neurologist, you also need a therapist in order to cope with the mental issues, social issues, and other stress issues to help manage your health, physical and emotional health at the same time. That all being said, one of my therapists that I spoke to last week indicated that probably one of the things that I had learned to give up in order to cope with my life while living with epilepsy was my sense of agency. I'm not referring to like advertising agency, agency in terms of management of your own life, that you are more dependent on your spouse, like the woman's case you just mentioned, or a family member, or the environment you're in. Maybe it's not the preferred environment that you want to be in, but it's the only thing you have at the moment. The workplace can sometimes fit that whole schema. But the thing is that it's a matter of trying to take ownership over those situations. And therefore, you have a sense of agency that can make you feel that even if you are dependent on someone, that you still have leverage over your own life. And I guess what you just described there is she gave up her agency to her spouse, basically.
Yeah. And you also have to have a level of detachment when it comes to their issues. They might be dealing with other issues in their life, and they might want to project it on you because they think they can, because now you're relying so much on them. So there's a codependency aspect.
Yes. Yes. And it's also, like we said on our last show, it could be dangerous, especially if your partner or probably your friend or the person that you're dependent on is also a narcissist.
Yes, and that's why this show came after that show, because they're related.
I mean, that all being said, I guess I can ask this to both of you. Can we say, well, I think we did say on the last show that the people that we are most vulnerable to are narcissistic people. But would you say that there's some other element that I'm not bringing to the forefront that maybe even I'm missing that we are most vulnerable to? I mean, maybe just being vulnerable if we give up our freedom, if we give up our, like I said earlier, our sense of agency.
Yeah, I think that's a huge aspect of our lives. Once we become vulnerable, giving up, sacrificing, your driver's license, sacrificing your job, sacrificing so many freedoms, people get it in their minds that they can depend on you for everything, whether it's emotional support, whether it's do this around the house, do that around the house, just so they have it in their minds that they can do you're there for them no matter what. So
what do you think it is that whether the person suffering from epilepsy or seizure disorder, whether they're dependent on a narcissist or not, what do you think it is that gives them the innate desire to give up their own sense of, I call it agency, but let's just say their sense of independence.
For the person having seizures or for the person?
Yeah, do they just want to avoid the seizures or is it something deeper that they want to resist being part of?
Well, I think, and you guys can tell me what you think, this is probably for me, I feel like self-esteem is also one of the things that is hugely impacted. Because there's so many things you can no longer do, or if maybe you could never do if you've had seizures since you were born or something, right? Or since you were a kid. Right.
Well, I was going to tell a story here, and this has to do with self-esteem. I mean, this when it comes to the victim mentality, yeah, so it's, yeah, so that's something I go way back when I was first diagnosed. It's one of my first neurologists, and not my first, but one of my first. And my parents and, you know, were there. And so I remember his warning of how he went directly to my parents as he was not going to be my doctor and focused on cases that he had a good hope for seizure control because he had a reputation to live up to. And he said, you cannot make your son feel like a victim. You cannot coddle, you know, your son, and you cannot have him feel shame for these seizure situations. There's going to be too many situations where, plenty of situations where there will be an influx of emotions and negative emotions at that, so.
Oh, especially in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. No, it's funny. I guess the reason why I'm acting more like a student in listening to this conversation with the three of us, between the three of us, is because I still to this day am struggling with issues of understanding whom to trust in the workplace or in business situations, while simultaneously even in family and personal situations, because it's an issue of whatever past traumas that have occurred through seizures or through other related experiences that you find yourself almost like a magnet being triggered instantly because it's a subtle reminder of a previous event, whether it was a seizure event or whether it was being betrayed by a friend or family member, or especially like, I guess, the resistance to, after being in the music industry for 10 years, the resistance to work again for an entertainment company that breeds narcissism is just, it's 150,000%. I think that's why I fell into healthcare, because at least I was in control of my regulating my state, my stress levels and my state of mind, rather than focused on which artist was gonna make it top of the charts, you know. But if anything, I do like the value of understanding how I can do what I can to improve someone's life, which is why this show has been very therapeutic for me to do. Maybe Frank About Health is a measure of controlling my agency or my sense of independence, because that way I can talk about my conditions, whether it is epilepsy or otherwise, but at the same time I can share in dialogue with others like yourselves, and we can learn from each other. And I think collectively, at the end of the day, when we all are, I guess you could say, networked together under the same circumstances, we're able to do better and monitoring and resisting the negative influences that can sometimes exist, especially whether it's in the workplace or in relationships.
Yeah, and I think that once you are depending on someone, it's also, you're isolated. You have an isolation from normalcy, and you enjoyed a time to, you think you're going to enjoy a time to think about a whole lot of things, like your life, and a quiet room doesn't necessarily mean a quiet mind.
Hence rumination.
Yes.
No, that's very interesting that you said that. I don't know. I guess what all of us probably went through that during COVID, especially because we were all locked in quarantine, whether with our families or friends or maybe by ourselves. But at the same time, we were trying to prevent getting another disease that could itself kill us. Isn't it interesting how epilepsy was not considered a comorbidity? You had to have another condition in order to get the vaccines earlier, or even do what you can to make sure that you were maintaining your health and preventing seizures at the same time.
Go on. Sorry, Danielle.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I was relieved to hear that epilepsy wasn't considered like a high risk category. I was like, okay, then I don't. Whew. It was just really.
Well, but yeah, also, people with epilepsy, they have so many comorbidities already. So it's, you know, what's the percentage of someone with epilepsy not having a comorbidity, not having another illness?
No, I would say predominantly living life with epilepsy, and correct me based on your own experiences if I'm missing anything or if I'm getting it wrong, but predominantly I would say the comorbidities are that related to mental health, like PTSD, erratic thinking, cognitive deficits.
Well, also, the autism population, it's huge when it comes to them also having epilepsy.
Oh, so but not epilepsy becoming autistic. You're saying the other way around.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's true.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how they maybe skew the numbers or the numbers get mixed up. It's hard to say. Sometimes it's hard to say how it ends up in the stats, you know?
Well, that's true. At least if anything, the mental health professionals got it right in some of our medications. Like for anyone out there who ever took Lamictal, like me, I think you, Danny, as well did.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, exactly. They originally prescribed that to people with bipolar disorder. And they just figured out as a side effect, it was controlling seizure activity. Just like, and for those of you out there who take Viagra, it was originally a cardiac medication, and we know what other kind of consequences it provides. But I think actually Lamictal was also provided by Pfizer. So Pfizer is the winner in a lot of categories. All right.
Topamax was also used for bipolar, I think, at one point, right?
Topamax? I heard that Topamax, I never took Topamax, but I also heard it made you lose weight.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But it was used for something else. I know that. Yeah. So it was used for migraines, I know. But it was also used for another mental illness. Yeah.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we go on our final break, I just want to recap a little bit about what we've talked about today. We started the show understanding that there are four major segments of independence that those living with epilepsy continue to struggle with. And I think the three of us have been lucky enough to manage or maintain it on a respectable level. We still have our demons that come back to us, and we learn to either manage them or get defeated by them. I like to think we all have learned to manage them. Then we heard from Danny to discuss about the workplace scenarios, like how much is good enough to tell during an interview, as well as during the workplace situation, if you start exhibiting seizure activity, what consequences do you have to be mindful of in terms of if you lose your job or if they don't give you the promotion that you deserve. So the thing is I had closed that segment by mentioning always keep an entrepreneurial and vigilant mindset, whether you're working or not. At the end of the day, the only resources, especially on the financial case, to maintain your independence are the ones that you yourself can manage. So always have an accountant, a lawyer, a banker, and any other kind of necessary professionals, especially on the medical side, to keep you in the loop. And then we just close this segment by talking about relationships and how people can be easily led to be codependent or lose their sense of agency. At the end of the day, it's part of the vigilance. It's just trying to maintain any piece of yourself that is unique and independent to keep yourself outstanding from being completely dependent upon, so that you can move forward in whatever goals you have for your life. When we return, we're going to now turn the tables on the alternatives that are available to all of us out there, including those that don't suffer from epilepsy. Whether it is cannabis, which we've spoken about in the past, there are other alternatives that I know, Danny, that you have discussed in the past that you want to probably share with us a little bit more. And I think, Jeff, you mentioned to me on our other show, as well as other conversations we've had, that there are resources of doctors or even websites or solutions that people can turn to. And I guess I'd also like to share some of my thoughts about how we can all move forward in our struggle for independence, epilepsy or no epilepsy. That is the question. That all being said, stay tuned right here on talkradio.nyc, Facebook Live, our YouTube channel, and on Twitter. and we'll be back in a few.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, everybody. We've had the chance over the last 45 minutes to talk about the whole challenge of living your life with epilepsy and maintaining your independence. But nevertheless, and this is the final segment of the episode, we need to still address it is still a medical condition. So that being said, we will always be dependent on our medicines, on our treatment plan, on our neurologist or epileptologist, if that's the case. Or if you suffer from post-traumatic epilepsy due to traumatic brain injury, you may have psychiatrists, you may even have surgeons that you're dealing with. But one of the fundamental common threads that we all deal with is medicines. So I think one of the aspects of medicines that we're all aware of is every medicine has side effects. And we're lucky, I think the three of us have been lucky, to have medicines with minimal side effects. And I know in certain cases, we've had alternatives to supplement management of those side effects, as well as probably even do what we can to take alternatives to reduce the influx of medications. So that's what I want to devote this final segment of the show to, understanding what choices are out there for all of you listening, as well as what choices have myself, Danielle, and Jeff taken over the many several years that we've been living with this condition. So I think the first thing I want to do is define advocacy. Frank About Health has been here for the last 2 years, starting as predominantly an epilepsy-related show. And then it moved to the whole spectrum of COVID. And then over the last year, it's been a lot about mental health and awareness. Now, that being said, I heard my commercial during our commercial break. I think I'm going to change the commercial jingle and then the announcement probably in April or May, because I think we're beyond a post-COVID world now. We're trying to get back to the real world. And that being said, I just want to spend this next 15 minutes or so discussing about how collectively, myself, Danielle, and Jeff are going to do what we can to make the show, as well as talkradio.nyc, be more of an advocacy platform in the real world. And so advocacy is just about standing in your truth, knowing the condition you're living with, trying to address the challenges you face, and trying to share that information out there to those that are probably facing them and are unaware of them. You know, and I think we've done our best of that, especially in the workplace tonight. And relationships is always going to be a challenge, whether you suffer from epilepsy or not. We all figure that communication is the key to that one. So we all have to be mindful of how we communicate with each other, whether it's personal, family, friends, professional, whatever it is, or intimate partnerships. You just want to be able to minimize your seizures, but maximize the value in your relationships. So I think that was my narrative to enter this segment, but I'd like to know more from both of you in terms of the medical challenges that you both have faced and alternatives that you have taken advantage of. What can you share with the audience about there? What you've done for yourself, how it has improved on your life and helped you maintain your sense of independence within the medical field? Starting with you, Dan.
I've been on pretty much every medicine there is, and most of them haven't worked. Some of them in combinations have worked. The one that did work, they try not to prescribe to people anymore, which is kind of funny. That's a story for another time. But yes. That whole issue of like nothing really working and not really getting under control really spurred me to seek out alternatives. Like, what else can I do about this? So years ago, probably about over 10 years ago now, I decided to explore yoga and meditation. And long story short, I got pretty into it, and I promised myself I was going to do just 10 minutes of meditation every day, because any more than that seemed kind of intimidating. Like, oh my God, that's so much time. I did for over a year. I did 10 minutes of meditation every day without fail. And sometimes I would do yoga on top of that. Sometimes for a long time, sometimes like 5 minutes. And what I found was I had fewer and fewer seizures to the point of having no more. And they took me off of one of my medications. And that was really the only thing I had changed at that point in time, was making that time for mindfulness. That really worked well for me. And some other life circumstances happened, and I kind of undid that, long story short. But I am a big believer in that can help. I don't want to promise that that's going to like cure epilepsy or anything, but it can certainly help. And I did also try experimenting a little bit with cannabis, not probably to the extent that I should have. I still have all those like messages they sent in like high school and elementary school and middle school, like drugs are bad, don't do them. I was very like afraid still to like try too much of it. And I didn't even know the differences, indica, CBD, sativa, all these different things, right? I'm still learning, but they didn't really help stop my seizures, at least to the amount that I was on. But The sativa strain did help me. For those of you that don't know, anti-seizure medications create a lot of tiredness and fogginess and like slowness, and I really hate the effect that they have. I don't know about you guys, but it's very frustrating. But this strain of sativa that I tried actually like cleared through all that and helped me think more clearly and be more effective and productive than I had been in a very, very long time, while not interfering with the medication's purpose. So right. That was very beneficial. Those are the most beneficial things I found.
Awesome. And I know, Jeff, you wanted to talk a little bit about, neurofeedback.
Yeah, I'm an advocate of EEG biofeedback, or what you said, it's also known as neurofeedback, and it can be helpful for a lot of problems like ADHD, migraine, sleep disorders, and epilepsy, and other neurological disorders. And I like to describe it as a guided meditation. Yeah, I think that's the best way to describe it. And the technology is advancing, so it's improving constantly. And the great thing about it is that there are a number of different protocols, settings that can be placed, and the brain is conditioned with auditory and visual stimuli. And not only can one reduce the severity of one's seizures or migraines, but it can be a therapy for enhancement like memory improvement or cognitive abilities. So
awesome. I think for me, what I discovered, which I unfortunately had not been able to do, especially during the COVID pandemic, was acupuncture. And I really want it badly. You know, I think that'll be something that I'll probably have to explore in the next coming months if I can. But the thing is that I know that during the whole acupuncture session, I think it's about 45 minutes to an hour long, you're having everything regulated, from your neurological brainwaves to your stress levels to your cholesterol to even your libido, for all you know. The thing is that what you're finding is that you're able to get back to your normal resting state and then take in all of the environment after the fact and try to process it more effectively with focus and energy and awareness. And I think I would recommend it highly to those that can either afford it, or at the same time, if they are already doing it, maintain it as part of their life, as well as the alternatives of finding the various amounts of treatments that are going to work for the type of seizure condition you may have. Now, I know that there's also exercise, and there's also understanding that maybe your seizures are being provoked by another condition altogether, whether it's, like we've had over the last 3 weeks, a discussion of cardiac care. Sometimes your heart condition, if you have one, might be triggering seizures, or if you have diabetic circumstances, or if you obviously have mental health issues, or if you're recovering from a surgical procedure, especially if it happened on your brain, sometimes that could be triggering seizures as well. I think, you know, sometimes music itself is therapy. Sometimes it's just like you do the yoga and meditation, Danny. I'm sure you probably do it with music as well. You know, I would highly recommend that everybody continue to seek all the alternatives out there. Doing a podcast can be therapeutic. And I know that I haven't had a seizure once since I started the show 2 years ago. Maybe I can't say there's a correlation, but I can say I feel very relaxed. Although, for those of you out there, I can see we're almost about to end the show. So I'm a little bit nervous because I want to get all my thoughts out there before we conclude. And one of the things that I have to give a big shout out to, and I'm a Grey's Anatomy fan, so I'm sorry, I'm going to take the time right now to just promote that today is the final episode with Ellen Pompeo's character, Meredith Grey. And I can't wait to watch it tonight. I don't think it'll have the ratings value that the final episode of MASH had over 50 years ago or 40 years ago. But I can say to you that it's going to be a whole culmination of 20 years of understanding. Even though it was a medical drama, it was basically the understanding of the value of collective identity with various people, depending on whatever their conditions or circumstances were. And even though it is, again, a drama, it can be a prototype for how to live your best quality of life going forward. So I highly recommend, especially since we have a larger platform of listeners tonight, if you are going to turn on to ABC at 9 p.m., stay tuned as Meredith leaves Seattle. But more importantly, stay tuned to our Friday slate of shows right here on talkradio.nyc, which are Tommy D's Philanthropy in Focus and Stephen Fry's Always Friday. And then we will be back right here on Frank About Health next Thursday at our usual time for a new episode. And I just want to say both to you, Danny, and Jeff, we are going to be here 1 month from now talking about another epilepsy-related topic that I'm sure that needs to be explored in detail. And I want to thank you, Dylan, for producing the show and for bringing to light the awareness that we have more listeners out there tonight. And I want to thank you again, always, Sam, for everything that you've done for me and the show and for our various guests that have been on it. And I guess to both of you, we're signing off, but I thank you for being here, and I will be speaking to you pretty shortly. All right. Have a good night.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.